Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. After service tonight is birthday anniversary. We have soups and salads in our third building. Everybody's welcome to come fellowship and enjoy. Amen. Time with us tonight. Amen. Praise God. John the 14th chapter, verse 6. The speaker is Jesus. Jesus said unto Thomas and the disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You think with me tonight. People want to know direction. They want to know what's absolute. And people want to know what's all about life. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Another scripture, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life that cometh down from heaven. And any man that partakes of that bread of life shall live forever. It's all composited and it's all dwelling when you have Jesus alive in your life. Amen. He said, I'm it. Are you thankful tonight for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I feel Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. Let's put our Bibles down for a moment. Amen. Would you lift your hands and just, amen, just love the Lord back for what he's done for your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and spirit, Lord, this evening. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. You're precious and holy. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth. Thank you for the divine power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the way of life. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God be honored tonight. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Ephesians says this, one Lord, one faith, and what? One baptism. One God, one Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you. You got to have him in you. Praise God to have the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I'm so thankful that that day that I was born again of the water and the spirit. Amen. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. Amen. I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost come in and I know the truth today. Amen. The truth has set me free. Amen. We're thankful for it. Praise God. I want you to imagine tonight stepping onto a field, eager to play a game, only to realize that there was no rules. No boundaries, no goals, no way to win or lose. You could run in any direction, but it wouldn't matter. You could try to score points, but they wouldn't count. There would be no referee, there would be no structure, no purpose. Before long, confusion would set in, frustration would take over, and the game would lose very quickly its meaning. And what started off as an exciting opportunity would quickly turn to chaos. Why? This game has no boundaries. That's exactly what life would be like without the principles and guidelines that God has established. It's got to be his way in order to have his life. It has to be his truth involved in your life before you know eternal life through Jesus Christ. His word still provides the rules that gives life meaning and direction. Without God's moral boundaries, people are left wandering aimlessly, making their own standards and leading to disorder and brokenness. Are you thankful for the anchor of the word of the Lord? Are you thankful for the structure? Amen. Are you thankful for the rock to build your life on? Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even simple sport games, basketball, baseball, we have fun here at the church. We play kickball. We play basketball, different things there. And every one of these games has some kind of rules. The rules don't exist to hinder the players, but give them a framework to excel. Think about it. Imagine a basketball game where dribblings and fouls and no shot clock, it would no longer be basketball. It would be just a bunch of people running around with a ball. And similarly, God's commandments are not restrictions meant to burden us, but they're there to give us divine structure that allows us to live with purpose and freedom and fulfillment. Even in everyday life, structure still matters. Think about roads have traffic laws, and so drivers can safely reach their destination. Amen. In buildings, they have codes and permits and blueprints that they just don't collapse. Thank God for bridges having standards. That when they build a bridge, that carefully everything is taken into consideration. The weight bearing. All because there's going to be a lot of traffic across it. And I'm thankful that I could trust and have confidence to cross that bridge. What about a symphony? Whenever they follow music arrangements and they're reading that, and so that the instruments work together in harmony rather than just producing a bunch of noise. I'm glad for that today. In the same way, God's instructions, His law, His grace, His wisdom are what keeps our life from descending into chaos. Amen. You got to have Him. Amen. You got to have Him to anchor your soul. Amen. Furthermore, every game has an objective, a way to win. And in life, our ultimate purpose is to know God, to live for Him, and receive His eternal reward. Without that goal, think about it, life would feel like an endless cycle of meaningless activities. Much like a game where there'd be no way to score. Paul likens the Christian life to a race. He said, run in such a way that you run for the prize of the high calling of God. God has not left us aimlessly, amen, just to figure things out. But He set before us a clear path defined by His truth that we not only just play, amen, but we get to win in life. Are you thankful for that? Amen. There's some of you that we play games together. There's some of you are very competitive. Amen. I know some of you are competitive. Sister Carrie, you're competitive. Amen. Very competitive. Abigail, you're competitive. There's others here very competitive. Nobody likes to lose. And friend, amen, God don't want anybody to lose tonight. God wants His church to have victory. God wants His people to have victory. You know, the world today that we're living in often seeks to erase moral boundaries, claiming that freedom comes from doing whatever feels right. But this freedom isn't the absence of rules. It's following the right ones and going the right direction. A fish is free in the water. But if it tries to escape that boundaries of the ocean and live on the land, it'll die. Likewise, when we try to live outside of God's design, we don't find freedom, we find destruction. Somebody say amen. So that's how you are when you play a game without rules and boundaries. You try to find a way to win, you just can't. That's why we need divine order in our life. That's why God has given His word to be our guide. Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand for His word tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. His commandments are our boundaries, and His promises are victories. And living by His principles doesn't take away our joy. Think about it. It secures it. It ensures it that we not only play the game, but we finish it well. Hey, I'm glad that God is for me, and God's going to help me finish and get across this line today. Amen. God's going to help me across the finish line of life when I let God be God of everything. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm life. Praise God. So, tonight, if you stop and think about boundaries and lines, what happened to right and wrong? If you're old enough to remember a time, there was a difference between right and wrong. It was clearly understood. Even if one committed a criminal act, they did so in spite of knowing better. Up until the beginning of the last century, all recorded history has been characterized by a clear understanding of moral absolutes or rules. Think it with me. From the Babylonian Code of Hammurabi to the Ten Commandments to Judeo-Christian ethic, every culture declared certain behaviors to be wrong and evil. And the Word of God still proclaims it. Somebody say amen. And regardless of one's social economic status, regardless if you're rich or poor, regardless of your political preferences, regardless of your race, regardless of society in general, amen. Let me just tell you today, amen, we still need to follow the core values and the moral absolutes of the way that God has given us. Today we still look at things as a value system, the value of a human life. It's still right. Amen. Life is still important. We still value loyalty, respect, fidelity, commitment to family and marriage. Responsibility is still in order. Kindness is still in order. Generosity is still in order. Forgiveness is still in order. And love is still in order as far as the Word of God says. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But things have changed. And the symptoms of this change are all around us, whether it's in the news, the internet, on the job, even the next door neighbors, and some even in our families. Think of the consequences of this kind of thinking and behavior to where it's no longer right to do right. And it's slipping in. And I've been reading a book, and Sister Crossway has ordered this book and gave it to me. And in this book, Chip Ingram begins to talk about this. And I want to just share with you, as a pastor, sometimes, amen, we need to talk about things. We need to talk about absolutes and boundaries. We need to talk about the condition of the world. Because if we're not facing the problem will take us. Amen. We need to teach our children. There needs to be clear understanding sometimes of why wrong is still wrong and why right is still right. 17-year-old Elizabeth and her 14-year-old friend Jennifer made the mistake of taking a shortcut one night. It was 11:30 on a hot, steamy June night in Houston, Texas. They had just left a party at a friend's house. And they called home to let their parents know that they were on their way, but they never made it. As Elizabeth and Jennifer tried to take a shortcut through a wooded area near White Oak Bayou, I want you to catch this. They stumbled into the initiation night of a gang called Black and White Gang. The gang members had come together and moved in on this little wooded area. And what they were doing, they came to drink some beer. They came to engage into a macho induction that involved newcomers joining their gang. The way they would do it, they would have fist fights and to prove if you were strong enough. And to induct in that gang, you had to be strong. And that night, they had a brand new person that they had inducted. They had fought and they had drank beer. But the gang had just started to break up when these girls appeared into their sight. And one of the gang members looked and saw these two girls. And he said, let's get them. One of the gang members cried out, and Elizabeth and Jennifer's body, their bodies were found 4 days later. Stripped, tortured, they were raped, executed by strangling. Six gang members were charged with the murders. Police reported that all six youth had participated in this. that range from the age of 14 to 18. One of the gang members, a day before the murder, appeared on the local television in Houston before the murders, and he held up a beer and he boasted to the camera, "Human life means nothing." I want you to catch the attitude and the spirit. Basically, that message had reached the core of this young man's being. Human life meant nothing. Another one of the boys, upon hearing that he's going to be charged with murder, is reported whenever he found out his charge was murder, he looked around and smiled and said, "Hey, great, we finally made it to the big time." As today in 2025, several of those boys have been executed in Texas penitentiaries. But can you imagine anyone being so calloused, confused about being, about reality, about life? So depraved are these young people of what truth is and what life is and what meaning and value is all about. Unfortunately, this tragic is not an isolated case. Believe me. There's moral chaos that has permeated our schools, our streets, and often many homes in Nacogdoches and around us. For many of those who should be setting positive examples to the younger generations are instead of setting the pace for immorality, inventing new ways to push the envelope in regard of disgrading behavior, anti-God, anti-morals, anti-life things. What on earth is happening? How do we get from way back where there was a respect and there was morality and love for humanity to where we at today? You know what the core issue is? Now, opinions are a dime a dozen. Some say we should spend more tax money on education reform. We should have more urban development or family planning clinics. Others said we need to win the war on drugs, build bigger prisons, on and on and on is a prescription of many ideas. But I want to tell you what the true thing is. We need to get back to the basics of the truth. Values need to be put back inside the core belief system of America and our world. Desires that will guide and motivate people in the right attitude and the right actions of their life. This careless mentality today is corrupting many people. There's no ethics. The word ethics is a standard of conduct that indicates how one should behave. And it's moral principles that causes people, you know, to know the difference between right and wrong and do right and wrong. There's no sense of inner guide. There's no sense of consciousness of what is right and what's wrong. It's unclear today. It seems that everybody has their own brand of what's right and wrong. Professors, if you don't believe me, have you been to college? Have you taken critical thinking? What about politicians? And what about even some preachers? What is right about right and wrong? And the question is, what is truth today? It was something asked some time ago, and it would be answered. The right thing is, truth is still God's way. Courtesy, loyal, honest, faithfulness is definitely right. And friend, lying, cheating, stealing, if it was clearly wrong back then, it's still clearly wrong today. Adultery, still wrong. Fornication is still wrong. Absolute truth is what we want in this hour. What does absolute truth mean, Pastor? When we say absolute truth, we're referring to something that is right and true. Whether people agree or disagree with it, it's still true. In other words, if something is black, it can't be white at the same time. If something is hot, it can't be cold at the same time. If something is right, it can't be wrong at the same time. The view of truth today is the way people thought until a group of philosophers started saying, you know, it don't matter. It really don't matter. They begin to challenge the concept of truth, what truth is. I want to tell you, but truth remains absolute. Whether you agree with it or not, the word of God is still true. I want you to think about gravity. Gravity's absolute. You may not agree with the law of gravity, but it remains still regardless of your opinion. I mean, you step off a three-story building, you would change your belief system real quick, wouldn't you? The reality of the law of gravity doesn't change just because you think it doesn't really work. It's an absolute, unchanging truth, regardless and a part of one's opinion. When you even drop a small feather, eventually that feather will fall to the ground. Truth. Laws. The unchanging absolutes of the things of God. The unchanging reality of Christians is still the Word of God. This is a standard that we live by. This is the same because Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday. Somebody say today. And he's going to be the same tomorrow. What he loved back then, he loves today. And what he loves today, he'll love tomorrow. Amen. Are you thankful that God did not alter his opinion? God didn't change his stand. God is not wishy-washy like man is. But God remains the same yesterday, today, and amen. Now, it's safe to say that even murder, according to the truth, absolute truth, we believe murder's wrong. It's not wrong some of the time. It's not wrong most of the time. Murder's wrong all the time. Think with me. But you believe God's truth is still absolute? How many definitely believes that the word of God is still true? How many believe you got to swallow this, obey this, and live this, amen, in order to make it? God hadn't changed it. God had rearranged it. God had moved the boundaries. The word is still the word of God. But if you believe God's absolute is still unchanging, do you believe it? Do you believe it's still unchanging when it comes to issues like sexual impurity, lying, stealing, and idolatry and covetousness? Come on, look at the behaviors of our great majority that calls themselves Christians today. The right and wrong of these believers are no longer viewed as absolute. Think about it. It's okay to shack up. It's become okay for them to even, I'm a deacon in the church. It's okay for them to live an immoral lifestyle, a life of infidelity, a life of lying and cheating, a life of falseness and false pretense. But the word hadn't changed, friend. Even the word still remains forever and ever. You know what they call this? It's called relative truth. Relative truth is this. By contrast, many consider the truth to be relative. In other words, life is validated not by a set of principles or outside objective data, but on the basis of personal experience and feelings. Philosophy plays out attitudes and a belief system that says if it feels good, do it. Do your own thing. Let your conscience be your guide. You know, you choose your truth, I'll choose mine. And then the old statement, hey, whatever works for you, that's fine. And then the famous one, who are you to judge me? Friend, in this hour, you better have judgment in your life. You better, it's not a sin to judge somebody. It's a sin when you judge people without examining yourself. That's the most misquoted word of God, word scripture that I find amongst people today that said, who are you to judge me? Thou shalt not judge. Jesus said, first examine and get that old that log out of your eye first. Check yourself out. You better have judgment in this hour. If you don't have judgment and discretion, amen, you're going to get ran over by this world's philosophy and ideology. Are you thankful today for the strength of the Holy Ghost? Doesn't this sound familiar? There are phrases heard too often. They signal that the shift has been made from what is absolute to just relative truth. Now, negotiable truth can be freely altered to suit the person, the mood, or the situation. Truth is different for different people, they say. There's no longer a clear objective or consistent manner. It's all a matter of your taste, they say. You could do your own thing and I'll do mine. We won't judge each other about what is right and what is wrong. To do this would be void of intolerance. Think with me. Actually, it seems as though the only absolute in our culture today is tolerance, which is really contradictory to this context tonight. Those who cry tolerance many times are themselves intolerant of those they see as intolerant. What they really mean is, agree with me and you won't be intolerant. You agree with me and we're going to be okay together. But if you oppose me, I oppose you and you're the criminal. How do we arrive at this place where truth is no longer in an absolute manner and embraced? My, we need the truth, don't we? Amen. But folks, the values have changed so dramatically and so quickly. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 8:32, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom comes through Jesus Christ tonight, saint. Many people search for freedom through success. They look for pleasure, self-discovery. But true freedom can be only found in Jesus Christ when there is truth in your life. Amen. Truth will transform you. Knowing Jesus and obeying his word will break the chains of addiction, fear, shame, and friend, scriptural blindness. Amen. I said it this morning for the first time ever in my life. I realized that when Amazing Grace is sung, I was blind, but now I see. It don't mean a blind man that it was blind, but I was spiritually blinded to the work of God, but now I see. Are you thankful today that God will open the eyes of those, even when the truth comes in? The truth will make you free. Freedom requires commitment. Without commitment, freedom can't be really free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're going to be my disciples. We got to remain in his teaching to experience true freedom. The world promotes false idea of freedoms. Doing whatever you want without any restraints. But real freedom isn't all about removing boundaries. It's about breaking free from the things that enslave us. Jesus as the truth offers true liberty, freedom from sin, and the ability to live in the light of his love, and the next thing, his purpose. Love has boundaries. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. You're thankful for the word of the Lord, the way of God. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands to the Lord tonight and thank him for his truth. Amen. Through the quarters of time, amen, truth has marched and marched and marched. Tonight, truth still will march on. Amen. Truth is going to march on all the way to the finish line. Amen. Tonight, truth is for you. The goodness of God is for your life. Why stand halt between two opinions? If God be God, worship him. Amen. Come on. We can't follow the world. We can't follow trends of ideas. We got to follow the way, the truth, the light, the spirit of God. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. If we're not here to teach and to be an example to our children, who will be? Who will be that example? Who will be that one? Are you letting the world be the example? Are you letting the neighbors be the example? Are you letting the crowd be the example? Are you letting the philosophies around you? The Bible speaks about vain philosophies. Vain, useless, weightless, no purpose in them. But God has a purpose. I want His purpose. It doesn't matter what my peers think. It don't matter what the coach thinks. It don't matter what the professor thinks. It don't matter what whoever thinks. Amen. I want to be like Joshua. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We better put it in our hearts and our lives. Amen. And we better have boundaries. We better have truth alive inside of us. Amen. We better live right. Amen. We don't just let everybody make their mind. Amen. But we let the word of God dictate the direction in our life. Amen. The grass will wither. The flower will fade. But the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And if you partake of it, you shall have everlasting life. Remember in the Old Testament, the manna that fell had to be gathered. The manna had to be taken daily. Daily. It had to be gathered. Think with me. If you depended on yesterday's manna, the Bible says it turned to worms. You had to daily get it. What's that telling us today? If you don't have a daily relationship with God, your past turns to nothing. It dissipates. You got to have the daily bread, Jesus Christ, and eat of Him. I feel Jesus right now. Jesus wants to secure and strengthen your relationship. He wants your faith to be absolute. He don't want you to be wishy-washy. Amen. He wants you to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. He wants your root system to be strong. God wants a people that are valiant and victorious. He don't want to be the wishy-washy that bow to every wind of doctrine, everything of the world and ungodliness and unholiness. But He's looking for righteousness and peace. And friend, with it comes joy in the Holy Ghost. The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. And you become free indeed. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord and let's worship Him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I won't break. I won't water down my faith.
Would you find somebody to pray with right now?
I won't compromise in a world of desperation.
I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow.
What has been, I cannot change. But for tomorrow and today, I hallelujah. Must be a light for future generations.
Pray with somebody tonight.
I won't bend and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. But for tomorrow and today, I will be a light for future generations. I won't bend and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. But for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. I won't and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. But for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change, but for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. Desperation. What has been, I cannot change, but for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. I won't bend and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. But for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. I won't bend and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. But for tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations.
Hallelujah. I think about Hebrew children that stood. The king said, we're going to fire this furnace up. But God was with them in the fiery furnace. Think about Daniel. Said, I'm sorry, King. Amen. I'm going to see you keep on praying and bow to God Almighty. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. And God is with us today when we stand for him and live for him. Amen. You may be insulted by the crowd, but I'm not going to insult my Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight for his grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Scripture says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may stand and withstand in this evil hour. And having done all to do to stand, stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you had a birthday in the month of February, we want you to come to the